This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Imagine 1 year ago, waking up to the news that your homeland had been hit by one of the most devastating earthquakes in history.
I have already asked the world to come to the support of Haiti just the same way that they did back in 2008 when we had four hurricanes hit us in 3 weeks.
That plea from Raymond Alcide, Haiti's ambassador to the U.S., came just after a magnitude 7.0 earthquake leveled Haiti's capital. More than 200,000 people died. More than a million were homeless. Here in Boston, 55,000 Haitians wondered if their loved ones were among the living or the dead. Well, a year has passed, but Haitians here still remember that when Port-au-Prince shook, Boston trembled.
It's the first year after the earthquake, and we want to celebrate the dead really big this year. It's a way to just acknowledge that we've lost so many.
Today we're going to hear the stories, the efforts, and the ongoing concerns of Boston Haitians for their homeland. The one-year anniversary of the Haiti earthquake, it's our talker today on Radio Boston. Listeners, do you have friends or family still in Haiti? How did their lives change after the earthquake, and how did yours change? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us now in the studio is Fabienne Eliasson, director of the Boston Mothers Care Group, and welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
We're also joined by Carlene Desiree. She's director of the Haitian Women in Boston. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having us.
Also with us here in the studio is former state representative Marie St. Fleur. Welcome to you as well.
It's good to be here.
Well, let me just start by asking all of you, Fabienne, you can please begin. Do you have family or loved ones still in Haiti?
Yes, I do. I have brothers, sisters, cousins, and when the earthquake happened, I had a family of 12 that passed.
You had 12 members of your family passed.
Yes.
And for those who survived, how has the past year been for them?
Very hard. Very heartbreaking. They're on the street for a while. My sisters lost a few of the belongings, but they were on the street for a few months, still on the tent. So finally now they realize, I mean, they get together and then try to live with other sisters. But it's been heartbreaking, but they do have the joy to just be together and enjoy every single day.
Carlene Desiree, do you have family or loved ones still in Haiti?
Yes, we do. My mom's in Haiti, and I have a lot of extended family members and a lot of dear friends, colleagues in Haiti.
What are the challenges that they've been telling you that they still have to face day in and day out?
Well, it depends on what part of Haiti. Some parts are pretty decent, although in the countryside where my mom is, in this section called Mirbalet, in the Plateau Central area, there have been an increase in folks coming from the Port-au-Prince area, and she had to house, I think, over 6-7 people she took in. We are referring to extended relatives, sons and daughters of other folks, people she knows. And so she's been caring for 6-7 additional folks in her home. In regards to friends in Port-au-Prince, the challenges have been numerous. In the beginning, we had folks who thought they were losing their mind, you know, 2-3 months after the earthquake. It was still very challenging. Some of them those who had the capacity to send kids to the States, they did send their kids to the States because the schools were closed for a long period of time. And also, I think they know even when the schools would reopen, it wouldn't be the same. So you have a lot of some of our friends who are now split with children, and it happened so fast.
You know? We want to talk more about that and how the split, families were split up, and also the effect that that's had on the Haitian community here in Boston. But let me get to Marie St. Fleur here. Did you have friends or families, loved ones and in Haiti, and the impact on them?
My immediate family is all here. Mm-hmm. I have some extended family, many of them which I don't know, but I have friends and have been in contact with them. I don't have any immediate family that passed. My brother had, his wife had family members that passed, had cousins who had family members that mm-hmm. passed. So it was removed, but even if it's removed, it is still impactful.
Well, that's actually the exact thing that seems to be continuing to reverberate here in Boston's Haitian community. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the past year, how would you characterize, the sort of activity and actions and what's been going on in the Haitian community here vis-a-vis reaching out to help friends, family, and just the nation down in Haiti?
Well, I think in terms of overall, the Haitian community has been one of the largest supporters of Haiti, period, with an investment of over $1.4 billion in remittances every year. And that's the Haitian community across the diaspora. I think the Haitian community here in Massachusetts can be proud of being a very effective part of that. I know that with respect to the Haitian community at large, that Nisli Metaye and a group of them pulled together and pulled the Haiti Earthquake Task Force together and have a lot of activities that they've been involved in. I know that these two women who are with me here today have been involved in a number of programs and projects. And so I think the Haitian community has stepped up and continue to step up to support their families. I know that working with the governor's office as well as the mayor's office, we were able to find families who would receive some of the families that came in from Haiti. Mm-hmm. We have families, particularly the elderly, that we've had to make some adjustments for in terms of housing because they had to accept grandchildren in that they had not anticipated. And you know, a lot of the housing laws don't allow mm-hmm. you to bring in other folks, but they've been able to do that. And so I think people continue to step up, but it's a strain. It's a strain.
Well, we're talking about Boston's Haitian community 1 year after the earthquake in Haiti and work that's being originated here in Boston and going on down in Haiti. If you have a question for our roundtable or just stories that you'd like to share about Haiti 1 year after the earthquake, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-8255. Talk. Fabienne, you're with Boston Mother's Care, and you're doing very specific work right now in Haiti. Can you describe to me what you're doing and what prompted you to go down there and start these projects?
When that incident happened, I wasn't active much in the Haitian community. So that was a wake-up call for me. So when the incident happened, so I met with other great women in the Boston, not only the Haitian, we have great diversity. So they went there right after the earthquake in February, so bring relief there. So I joined them on the second trip that was back in September. We brought relief. So on the first trip, most likely it was in the city place that they went. But second trip, we went to the remote area, which is called Colmini, out of an hour and a half from Saint-Marc. So those people, they haven't seen any relief. Nobody has mm-hmm. been in that area. So we focus on this this group of people. There's about 900 of them. And they have no water. They have no supports. They have no resources, nothing whatsoever. And we were the first group to bring clothes, food, school supplies for them before the school opened back in October. And now we are in project of building a well for them because there's no water. They have to go 2 or 3 hours to just walk away from the city.
Have they not had water since the earthquake?
No. The water they have in there is like apple juice. It's very yellow. It's not good. And the fact that they have the cholera going on now, so they're getting very sick. Mm-hmm. The kids are dehydrated. Women, mostly, they're having a lot of yeast infections. Yeah. They're very sick. They don't have money to go to the hospital.
So for a year, they've had no water, and it's your group who's building the well for them.
Yes. Even prior to that, they didn't have anybody. They don't even know if they existed in that area.
Wow.
So that's how remote that area is. So we went there and then brought relief for them. So now we're planning to build a well. So we already partners with organization in Haiti, but the owner is here in Boston. So we met with them to just plan it. Now we're raising money to build that well for them.
Carlene Desiree, you're with Haitian women in Boston, and you're dealing with many of the Haitians who came here following mm-hmm. the earthquake. What is it that your group's doing?
Well, I'm the director of the Association of Haitian Women in Boston, and we've been around for 23 years, first 10 years as a voluntary organization, but the past 13 years, we've been doing work around housing. We have a housing project. We do domestic violence, adult education, and youth work as well. Since the earthquake, we have had an influx of folks who came, and the work in our little corner office in Dorchester has increased tremendously. It's assisting women with housing applications. We're talking about work primarily with the Department of Transitional Assistance. It's also helping them to apply for MassHealth. Some who are eligible for MassHealth, we have work as particularly serving as a liaison with the Department of Transitional Assistance. Well over 30 families. And we did add an ESL class specifically for the new folks who came in. As a matter of fact, it's not even enough. We have a waiting list of 55 people. And this is true for all of the CBO's community-based mm-hmm. organizations in the area. Some of their waiting lists, I'm sure, is probably much longer than ours. We ended up having to help with a lot of mental health issues. Yeah. We did support group, we did one-on-one, and we also had help from Pathways to Wellness with acupuncture services. We did some meditation and so on.
Carlene, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to actually have a chance to turn to Marie St. Fleur, because it sounds like, I mean, the work that both of you are doing there, doing both here in Boston and down in Haiti, is quite incredible. And I know that, Marie, you've been working with Boston hospitals and businesses based here as well. Can you describe a little bit more about how sort of that aspect of the Haitian American community in the city has been active or continues to be active in the reconstruction efforts?
Well, when this happened on January 12th, I was still in my position as a state rep. We were able to work with the state of Massachusetts, the governor's office in particular, and identifying some funding, which the Department of Public Health was able to give to various Haitian organizations and organizations that support the Haitian community, particularly in the issue around the issue of mental health. At least John Auerbach has been a wonderful supporter working through the governor, was able to put aside about $500,000 in order to provide that kind of support. The mayor's office, through the Department of Public Health, Barbara Ferreira, who heads that, was able to put forth her folks in order to help support, yes, around public health issues. The mental health issue is critical. I went to Haiti in February after the earthquake, mm-hmm. working with Partners in Health, went down there with a delegation, were able to connect and found similar to what Fabienne has found. I mean, we had a mutual friend, I guess, who led the Institute for Human and Community Development down there. Her name is Nicole Cesar. I mean, she had a group of approximately 600 children she'd been taking care of down there for a number of years. Everything was destroyed. She was less than 2 miles from the airport with all those wonderful warehouses full of food and had not seen anyone and mm-hmm. been provided any assistance. We're able to connect her with services. We're able to get partners to come in with a truck and provide medical care. So those were the sort of bottom line things you try to do.
This all sounds actually so hopeful in the face of also the fact that a year later there's so much work yet to be done in Haiti, and I want to ask all of you about that in a moment. But we do have a caller. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're talking with members of Boston's Haitian community about how the community reacted and continues to react 1 year after the devastating earthquake that hit Haiti. Ronnie's calling from Newton. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ronnie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's your thought today?
Well, you know, my question is, how are we going to help the country come back from the medical devastation that went on there? Because I'm a nurse that went to Haiti with Project Hope. I'm Haitian-born and American-educated, and I worked alongside a lot of other Haitian-American nurses and doctors down there, and we got there, like, shortly after disaster mode. So pretty much we saw all the serious illness illnesses pretty much was done, but we were just trying to get the rest of the community together in spite of all the efforts that we gave, we still saw a lot of death. And my question is, how are we going to help that country get back on its feet medically?
Ronnie, thank you so much for your call. You mentioned the cholera outbreak, which now I believe has claimed more than 3,000 lives in Haiti. Marie St. Fleur, your response to that?
Well, I think that the reality is, and I think we have to celebrate what we hope will continue to work. The Ministry of Health actually is one of the departments or one of the ministries that actually had some capacity, not full capacity in Haiti, but had some capacity. The group of Haitian physicians abroad had already been on the ground before the earthquake doing work in the hospitals, particularly Canapé Vert, had been down there for a long time. Public Health, you know Donna Barry, and of course Dr. Joy, they'd been down there working with the ministry, minister of health, prior to that. So there was some capacity. So Paul Farmer and his group had began to help with some capacity in that place. And Dr. Serena, who actually was running the organization. So there was some capacity in the Ministry of Health. And so therefore was able to at least begin to absorb. It's not enough.
Right, because
it's
we're
still not enough.
The infrastructure is still,
it's still not enough.
Not rebuilt. So how, no. And the medical infrastructure therefore is equally, in shambles still.
But I think that what we have to do is, one of the concerns that I have is that everybody comes in and do what they think is right. I think we have to help build the system versus sort of everybody coming in and doing something differently. And I think that is sort of the line that I think the Ministry of Health is trying to hold, as difficult as it may seem. And we've had some wonderful assistance. For example, I know that we've worked with Caritas, at the time it was... I just went blank. I apologize. The former head of Caritas, who actually helped us get some resources down on the ground in order to be able to assist the folks in the northern part of the country, because you have to get some of the congestion that's in the north, that's in the south, out in order to be able to put it in place some of the infrastructure pieces that you're talking about.
Well, let me ask Fabienne Elisin about that, because, I mean, your group is in the vast scheme of things, your group is one of the smaller ones,
correct,
who's doing this kind of, I don't want to use the phrase piecemeal, because that's pejorative, but doing the small work that maybe is the only things that are getting done in Haiti right now. So what do you make of this ongoing structural challenge that the country still hasn't really gotten back on its feet?
It's a challenge, but we are a group of seven volunteers, so we're just doing this out of a heart. We partner with DSNI, which is kind of support us on the financial statement on that. But the work that we're doing, we believe that it's God's work, who's just helping us to just providing the help for those people. And by doing so, we just go into this area to just help, and not only bring in the supplies of food or clothes or anything, but at least give those people a chance to just rebuild and have a hope, and then just have the instruction and the cultures still remain among the kids in that area.
And Carlene Desiree, we've just got a minute or so to go, but your response on ongoing challenges and how Boston Haitians are trying to meet that.
Well, early on after the earthquake, I must say we had the chance to deliver 9 conferences. And early on we said it's imperative to address TPS, housing, health care for folks coming in. But to go back to Haiti, we also did some work in Haiti. I went in Haiti in April with the Boston Haiti Health Support Team, and it was one of the group that we helped to initiate. We coordinated 6 missions to Haiti, and we had as much as 17 people going, nurses, mostly nurses and physician assistants, and we work primarily at the General Hospital. And I went on the April mission, and I tell you, what I saw down there, definitely you saw PIH, and there was International Rescue Mission at the time, who primarily did most of the work at the hospital. And, of course, it's chaos. It's after a major tragedy, and the need was very much dire. But the need in terms of helping people with their health care, of course, we saw a lot of people dying. There was lack of medication and so many other things. But people came with a good intention to help. But the help sometimes was not delivered in the most effective way because of structural issues. And also, I think there was the intention of letting others to just take over. Mm. And what do I mean by that? We had a situation. Do we need a break?
No, it's just unfortunately, and this is heartbreaking for me, we're rapidly running out of time.
Okay.
But before we do have to wrap up, I do actually just want to briefly ask you all of you one quick question, and that has to do with the character of the Boston Haitian community, or maybe even the diaspora in a larger part. In the ongoing troubles that Haiti has, I've been hearing that possibly that the earthquake, the silver lining to the earthquake, if there can be one, is that it sort of possibly bridged a gap between Haiti and the diaspora itself. Do you feel that as members of the Boston Haitian community, or did such a gap never even exist?
I don't believe so. I think we are all Haitians and in the community, whether you're here or in Boston or whichever you are. So you're Haitian. So when one of sisters or one of brothers, you know, feel the pain, you feel the pain. So I think that's when we're coming together. And actually that we're getting even stronger now. So just bring us together.
And Marie St. Fleur, Boston being the third largest Haitian community in the United States, do you feel there's a special role for what is capable of coming out of here to assist the country?
Oh, I certainly do. I mean, I think that a couple of reasons. We are the third largest. I'm actually one of the oldest Haitian-American communities in the country. Many of us have been around for a very long time. And I do think the only thing I would... And I think that the other thing that's important is that we have some critical people who are in our federal delegation, congressional delegation right now, who are very attuned to what's happening to Haiti and very supportive. So I think... It's we're a critical part of that conversation, and our people have always been supportive of Haiti. And moreover, Haiti and Massachusetts have a special relationship, which goes back to the 1800s. Mm.
Marie St. Fleur, former state representative, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And Fabienne Eliason from Boston Mother's Care, thank you so much for being with us. And Carlene Desiree, director of the Association of Haitian Women in Boston, thank you so much for being with us as well.
Thank you.
Well, coming up after the break, there's been a lot of discussion about the nature of political debate in the mass media in the wake of the shootings in Tucson. But what about the nature of web debate on Twitter and Facebook? How do you encourage people to talk civilly when they've never even met? Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.